62. Flynn stood up with slow dignity from where he had been leaning against the bole of the palm tree. "Where are you going?" Rosa opened her eyes and looked up at him. "To do something you can't do for me." "That's the third time in an hour," Rosa was suspicious. "That's why they call it the East Africa Quick Step," said Flynn, and moved off ponderously into the undergrowth. He reached the lantana bush and looked around carefully. He couldn't trust Rosa not to follow him. Satisfied, he dropped to his knees and dug with his hands in the loose sand. With the air of an old-time pirate unearthing a chest of doubloons, he lifted the bottle from its grave and withdrew the cork. The neck of the bottle was in his mouth when he heard the muted beat of the returning aircraft. The bottle stayed there a while longer, Flynn's Adam's apple pulsing up and down his throat as he swallowed, but his eyes swiveled upwards and creased in concentration. With a sigh of intense pleasure, he recorked and laid the bottle once more to rest, kicked sand over it, and set course for the beach. "Can you see them?" he shouted the question at Rosa as he came down through the palms. She was standing out in the open. Her head was thrown back, so that the long braid of her hair hung down to her waist behind. She did not answer him, but the set of her expression was hard and strained with anxiety. The men standing about her were silent also, held by an expectant dread. Flynn looked up and saw it coming in like a wounded bird, the engine stuttering and surging irregularly, streaming a long bluish streak of oily smoke from the exhaust manifold, the winds rocking crazily, and a loose tangle of wreckage hanging and swinging under the belly where one of the landing wheels had been shot away. It sagged wearily towards the beach, the broken beat of the engine falling so they could hear the whisper of the wind in her rigging. The single landing wheel touched down on the hard sand, and for 50 yards she ran true. Then, with a jerk, she toppled sideways. The port wing bit into the sand, slewing her towards the edge of the sea, and the tail came up and over. There was a crackling, ripping, tearing sound, and in a dust storm of flying sand she cartwheeled stern over stem. The propeller tore into the beach, disintegrated in a blur of flying splinters, and from the forward cockpit a human body was flung clear, spinning in the air, so that the outflung limbs were the spokes of a wheel. It fell with a splash in the shallow water at the edge of the beach, while the aircraft careered onwards, tearing herself to pieces. A lower wing broke off. The guy wires snapped with a sound like a volley of musketry. The body of the machine slowed as it hit the water, skidding to a standstill on its back, with the surf washing around it. De Silva hung motionless in the back cockpit, suspended upside down by his safety straps, his arms dangling. The next few seconds of silence were appalling. "Help the pilot! I'll get Sebastian!" Rosa broke it at last. Mohammed and the two other Ashkari ran with her towards where Sebastian was lying awash, a piece of flotsam at the water's edge. "Come on!" Flynn shouted, as the men near him, and they lumbered through the soft, fluffy sand towards the wreck. They never reached it. There was a concussion, a vast disturbance in the air that sucked at their eardrums as the gasoline ignited in explosive combustion. The machine and the surface of the sea about it were instantly transformed into a roaring, raging sheet of flame. They backed away from the heat. The flames were dark, red-laced, with satanic black smoke, and they ate the canvas skin from the body of the aircraft, exposing the wooden framework beneath. In the heart of the flames, De Silva still hung in his cockpit, a blackened, monkey-like shape as his clothing burned. Then the fire ate through the straps of his harness, and he dropped heavily into the shallow water, hissing and sizzling as the flames were quenched. The fire was still smouldering by the time Sebastian regained consciousness and was able to lift himself on one elbow. muzzily, he stared down the beach at the smoking wreckage. The shadows of the palms lay like the stripes of a tiger on the sand that the low evening sun had softened to a dull gold. "De Silva!" Sebastian's voice was thick and slurred. His nose was broken and squashed across his face. Although Rosa had wiped most of the blood away, there were still little black crusts of it in his nostrils and at the corners of his mouth. Both his eyes were slits in the swollen plum-coloured bruises that bulged from the sockets. "No," Flynn shook his head. "He didn't make it."
"Dead,"
whispered Sebastian. "We buried him back in the bush."
"What happened?" asked Rosa. "What on earth happened out there?"
She sat close beside him, protective as a mother over her child. Slowly, Sebastian turned his head to look at her.
"We found the Blucher," he said.